This is Only We Matter Podcast with Jacqueline and Brandon, bringing generations together.
Well, welcome back to Only We Matter, which I'm now, I think I'm going to officially call OWM.
OWM. That is
it's almost reminds me of the Oprah Winfrey Network, but...
but
it's
not.
OWM, not OWN.
That's
I think
right.
That's the difference. So
she's own and we're not.
OWM.
Welcome back to OWM.
We are glad that you are joining us today. We have a fun topic that we want to engage with today with our multiple generations that'll be here today, including Katie Westenberg, who's going to join us a little later in regards to her work on this very topic. But and it's simply this, Jacqueline, it's fear. How fear overcomes us. Mm. And I found this about myself about fear is it makes me do weird things when I'm afraid.
Like,
I think I've had to like battle through, like, what does it mean when I have to like prepare myself? I'm a preparer, right? So I prepare internally, emotionally for all kinds of things in my life. But for like something I'm going to encounter that I know is a fear that will cause fear, I think through it, whether it be like big conversations with a boss or spouse or I don't know what it could be. But I'm just like, I always have to process my fear before I do it. And so that's one thing about me that I think, I'm not sure it helps me be more confident or brave or anything. Maybe it does in the moment rather than just encountering something in fear. I think I freeze in fear.
So it's fight or flight.
Yeah.
With
so
fear.
Totally. I don't fight. I just curl up in the fetal position and cry probably.
Well, you
know about crying, but
I'm excited about this conversation and I'm excited to talk with Katie about it because of women's ministry and where we're at. And I'm excited to see how from different generations, we're going to be able to come together and go, oh yeah, we're so in agreement with so many of these things. And you know, it's so funny. I'm not typically a panic type person. But with the whole mask and COVID, I did find myself the first time I had to wear it for an extended period of time in public, I had to do mind over matter.
Yeah.
A mind over matter. And I'm excited to talk to Katie to find out how that will correlate with our life. Mine was specific to the mask and this whole panic of how to breathe with this mask on for so long and the restriction. But I'm excited to talk to her and find out how she tackles exactly this concept of choosing brave, embracing holy courage and understanding fear.
Yeah, it's so funny because like at a basic level with my kids, like when they're afraid of something that seems irrational to me as a dad, it's like I help them be brave.
Mm.
You know, maybe like helping them in a couple different ways, like me just being there and being their dad probably helps them be brave, but also encouraging them with my words too. Like it's time to be brave, you know, it's time to be brave to do this. So, you know, I think that's that type of encouragement, I think really, really does help. I think bravery can come in community rather than, you know, figure out, oh, I have to conjure something up, right? Those are the people we honor and see as heroes are those who can, it seems like they can just figure out how to be brave on their own. But I think for like the average person, I wonder what community and a good support system has to do with being brave. What would you think, Jacqueline, in your life? Are you able to conjure up bravery in midst of fear, or is it like, do you need other people, a community to surround you?
I think a little bit of both. So sometimes I need that community, whether it's my tribe or my advisors, and they are two separate groups. But there is a lot about me that is independent. And I just, I guess I find myself more so now than ever saying, because I'm afraid of this, I'm going to conquer it. So I'm going to walk through this and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to set my mind and I'm going to be courageous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't actually, you know, I pray a lot and I'm like, Lord, I need to do this. I need to conquer this fear because this is something that I do not want it to hold me back.
Yeah. It's so funny too, because we live in a time of, especially in our culture, in our country, is like a land of choice, right? Mm. So if we're afraid of something, one of the things I think for us is like, we can just avoid it. We can just go a different direction because we're just like, nah, it's not worth my effort. And maybe some things aren't. But like you said, maybe there's some things that fear is actually holding you back from achieving some dream or achieving some freedom in your soul that you need. And but man, for me, I know, I think my tendency would be like, nah, I'm just going to go a different direction then if I can't seem to overcome that hurdle. And so to learn to face those is, I think, character building.
Mm. Yeah. And I believe it is a choice. We can choose to sit in fear and we can choose to do nothing.
Yeah.
Or we can move forward and say, I'm going to conquer this to the best of my ability with God's help. If you are a believer in Jesus, to conquer this, because there are a lot of things I don't know, but one thing I do know in my life is that is God is with me and he is for me. And because of those things, I can choose to be brave.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. Well, Katie Westenberg is a follower of Christ, a wife, and a mom growing faithfully alongside her four children. She believes boldly in the transformative power of faith in Jesus Christ. As an author and speaker, she teaches women to grow a robust theology of who God is, become students of Scripture, and learn to live that truth out with courage. She serves a thriving community of women at ichoosebrave.com and makes her home in the lovely Pacific Northwest. Katie, welcome to Only We Matter.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
We are happy to have you. And we've been talking a little bit about fear right before we brought you in, fear and bravery. And so we've got our minds going around this, and we have some questions for you. So thanks for so much for joining. It's been fun looking at your work and what the journey you've been on. And so tell us a little bit more about yourself. How did you get started with this blog and becoming an author?
Well, I started writing about 5 years ago online. And started a blog just to kind of practice in quiet spaces. I think at that time I probably had like 5 readers and I was related to 3.5 of them or something like that, you know, and I just thought this is a great way to start. I can just write online. And it took a ton of courage to do that. Just to put yourself out there is a scary thing to do. I remember just being so nervous to hit that publish button. But I have 4 kids and my youngest had just got out of diapers and I thought I have a little more time and a little more capacity than I had in previous years. So I could just write faithfully, develop the craft, learn how to do this, get the courage to do this. And then maybe when my kids are grown, this is something I could pursue more intently. So it was just kind of a side gig and a way to practice and a safe space to do it. But the Lord kind of had different plans and it grew from there and writing opportunities came and I stepped through with barely enough courage each time asking my husband, is this right? Is this what we're supposed to do in this season? And so 5 years later, here we are.
Well, Katie, I am so excited to spend these next few minutes with you because I love that process. I love the whole path that you have taken because I guess I relate in the sense that putting yourself out there takes steps, it takes courage, takes bravery. Mm-hmm. You're like, I just don't want to hit the button yet. Before I hit the button on anything, I am pacing the room because I'm like, okay, God, okay, I'm going to be vulnerable. Okay, I'm going to do this because I know you're calling me to be obedient. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to hit that button. And then I pace again. So, you know, those days, my step counter is huge. But
it's good for the waistline.
It is. It's so great. And I love that you bring your husband into it and you talk mm-hmm. about it and you're like, I need to be affirmed by my husband and mm-hmm. because you're a team. So I love mm-hmm. that. Katie, I love that this is how we have started our conversation today. Mm-hmm. I want to talk, we're going to just dive right into your book because you just wrote a book. It's called I Choose Brave. Very nice. Love the coloring. I love the just the words brave.
For our listeners, though,
for our
you
listeners,
held up the book.
I did.
So in case we didn't get a video this part up,
that's right.
Up
we
the
may
book.
Not put
it
the
looks
video.
Awesome. It's on fire. So it's good.
So tell me, is there a difference between bravery and courage, or are they the same?
Really good question. You know, the definitions of bravery and courage are held pretty loosely. That was the beginning process for me, just even understanding what is courage, what is bravery. I remember having a conversation with my husband years before I started writing and just talking about it was on a long trip. And we started talking about who is the bravest person you know. And then that in itself requires you to have a definition of courage, right? Is it only people who go to war? Is it moms who are faithful in their everyday? So it was kind of working backward from there that we had a definition of courage. Well, if courage is this, courage is external, maybe it looks like this, but if courage is internal, so I think the same dynamic happens with bravery and courage. And we see courage listed more in the Bible than bravery. Sometimes it's just a difference in translations too. But my heart is really for a biblical foundation of courage because the world loves to talk about bravery and courage too. And the definition of that would look a little different than when it does when we have a truth that's fixed on the Bible.
So you mentioned that I Choose Brave really means to pursue holy courage. Mm-hmm. So how do we come to have holy courage? And what does a life of holy courage look like?
Yeah, ultimately it's knowing God and giving him full authorship of our life. It's learning to fear him, which is a concept that we don't hear talked about so much in the church, but we see it threaded throughout scripture over and over. And that's really what drew my attention to it. And I do think, I mean, it's going to look different depending on what season we're in, but the calling is still the same. I see that heart for, like, if you have a young 20-something and she's going out into the world, and what is this going to look like? What are the expectations that are placed on me? What does God want for me? Am I supposed to go to college and find a spouse and have children? Like, is this what it has to look like? But then I can see that same yearning from older women who are facing retirement, and all of a sudden they are on the brink of an unknown. And what is this supposed to look like for me? So either way, it doesn't matter if we're in this season or this season, we have to trust God with what's in front of us. And it is scary when we look around. So when we reorient our focus towards him, that's where we find the courage to move in obedience when it's what he wants for our life, not necessarily what we thought it might look like or what our circumstances are providing for us, but what do you have for me here so I can bravely obey you? It's just trusting in him that affords that courage.
Yes, you said turning to him rather than turning to maybe some of the fears of the world. So is that what you would call like the fear of God? And how does that play then into what courage is and fear? Like, aren't they supposed to be opposite as well? Or do they have a relationship?
Yeah. That was interesting to read throughout scripture. I first started studying fear in scripture. I really expected it to be kind of like I had learned in Sunday school, the definitions of love. There's agape love and there's phileo love. And I just thought, okay, sort this out. What is Katie fear? What is God fear? We'll just separate these two. But the interesting thing when you start studying the Greek and Hebrew roots is that the definition of fear is almost always the same. Whether we're talking about fear of Herod or fear of the people that are in front of us, when you outline those scriptures in the book versus fear of God, it's the same fear. So that was kind of blowing my mind from the very beginning. This is not necessarily made super clear and easy, but it's a reorienting of our fear that affords that courage. So when I'm looking to Christ, and so I always try to think of it as horizontal versus vertical. Okay. So when I'm fearing those things in front of me, that's where those do not fear. We can see the direction of fear in those scriptures. But then at the same time, our call to fear, that is always focused directly on the Lord. So, and that's the only fear that bids us to come. When we see the calling of Isaiah, when we see Joshua and the commander of the Lord's army just after he crossed the Jordan, when we see Moses in front of the burning bush, that was always a fear that bids us to come. So that's where the fear of the Lord becomes different.
Wow, that's significant, I think. And when I think fear too, like one of the passages that come to mind is like at the birth story, right? When the angel of the Lord came, or messengers would come and they were told to fear not, even mm-hmm. though they were ready to worship the angels, right? And
absolutely.
And to go down and so fear can be that healthy response towards the divine, I think.
Yes. Well. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
You open up about your experience with a high risk pregnancy and then ultimately the stillbirth of your first daughter. Mm-hmm. And I relate well, because my first child was a high risk pregnancy and I almost lost him twice. And so I totally relate to that. Mm-hmm. I want you to talk to us and to our listeners. Did this experience of very real fear change your understanding of godly fear or holy courage? Talk to us about that journey.
Yeah, that was something I talk about in the book that I had seen and experienced, maybe reading obituaries of infants before, and like, how does this happen? Why does this happen, Lord? And never was really on my radar. My very first pregnancy, my son, it just went super smooth. It was a textbook pregnancy, and I never saw this coming. And I don't think you go through those kind of circumstances, be it a high-risk pregnancy or a job loss, any of those seasons of suffering, or a friend that has cancer, any of those things that kind of flip us upside down, you don't go through that unchanged. Whether we become bitter, whether we understand God more, that's just like fertile ground for learning and growing. And the interesting thing is I didn't learn it all in the season. I mean, it's messy, and God has so much grace as we're learning there. Even imagining Moses at the burning bush, he's kind of arguing with God. Like, do you really want to pick? Can you just pick someone else? You know,
Can you imagine having that conversation with God? Like,
I know.
Like, talk about courage and bravery from Moses, right? Yeah.
But that's the grace to the rest of us when we feel like, please just pick someone else, you know? And so I don't think I learned everything in the moment. I would never want to put that pressure on someone else. Like, see this, fear him, be awesome. You can do this and just move along. It's a broken place. It's a grieving place. But I feel like the veil between heaven and earth is so thin in those moments. Isn't it C.S. Lewis that says that he speaks through a megaphone in those moments? And so it's just that slow process of learning in the healing when we get glimpses of his, like what he did in that moment. We don't even know until later. And so now I'm 14 years past that pregnancy, and I've had three more healthy children, and to see what he's done, and to see, so this last year was another season of suffering for me. My dad had a heart attack and went through a heart surgery that did not go well, and he spent months in the hospital and then was transferred for another surgery and ultimately had a heart transplant. So I mean, just like out of nowhere, my healthy dad just bam, everything went crazy. And it was interesting to be working on this book and editing the book while I'm in the waiting room of the ICU. I'm having marketing calls. This is just stuff that you don't sign up for. I didn't envision it this way, right? Here I am. But knowing what God taught me through this season, I'm writing about my daughter, Allison, and things that I think I might've done messily or imperfectly, and see that you're using these things. I know who you are because of where we were here. And I trust you differently because I know you now. So there wasn't nearly as much fear with my dad. It was just trusting him. Like, I know you're here. And if you need to take him, I know what life looks like on the other side. So that faith is formed from walking through those intense seasons. And we don't always know that it's growing, but the fruit grows there.
Wow. That sounds, that's good. I'm sure our listeners are ready to jump into this book and hear more of that experience for you. So to get more of this conversation, because ours is pretty limited today, we were not reading through the whole book here today, but where can our audiences go to connect with you and to get I Choose Brave?
Yeah, they can find me online at katiewestenberg.com, and social media, I'm on Facebook as I Choose Brave and on Instagram as I Choose Brave, and the book is available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, basically wherever books are sold.
Well, godly fear can be a difficult thing for some people to understand, and yet it's repeated through scripture. So why do you think so many Christians struggle to comprehend this type of fear? And we covered that a little bit at the beginning, but I want to just revisit it at the end of our conversation so that it really is driven home for people so they haven't missed that.
I think a lot of times we don't have a healthy reflection of this fear in our families, in our home, and in our world. I had a really interesting conversation with a friend that's a missionary in China. And he was just talking about governmentally how fear and a healthy respect for authority is pretty common in their culture, and probably to a negative extent, but also it's just common there. We're raised with, we fear authority in a healthy way. And he was telling me how he learned growing up to fear his dad in a healthy way. We fear the authority of our parents. And that's not quite as popular in the West anymore, right? It's not popular. We value autonomy. We value independence. And so we fight that. We fight that to give authority to someone else in our lives. So we don't necessarily have a pattern for that. But the Bible hasn't changed. It's living and active. So the command is for us still, no matter where we are placed in the timeline. And so when we're reading scripture, when we're trying to understand what does it mean to fear you, I think it's an invitation. And we see that threaded throughout. And that was really my goal. Originally, I thought, when my publisher talked about writing this book, and I thought, this isn't exactly what I want to write. I think this is a book for a theologian. Mm. But in spending time with the Lord and really praying about it, I thought, this is a book for a friend. I really just want to say, like I would say to any other friend here, look at this. Look at this in scripture. Look what we've been glancing past. Does this make sense? And it was the first time that I read the book, the Bible cover to cover, that I really began to recognize this. Like, this isn't just mentioned here. This isn't just an Old Testament concept. This is threaded throughout scripture. And why are we not hearing about it? So really, I just want to say, take a look at this. Notice this. And I promise the scripture, as you're reading, will start jumping off the page. Wow, it does say to fear him throughout the Psalms. Wow, it does say that Jesus feared God in Hebrews. This is amazing. And just ask him to lead us. How can I fear you? How can I live in awe and total respect and reverence of who you are, God, and not become too casual with this relationship? Mm-hmm. God is both grace and he is truth. And the balance of holding those two together in our culture is hard for us sometimes to understand, but it doesn't change who he is and how we are to honor and respect him.
Don't you love that? Don't you love that the God of the Old Testament is still the same today? And he doesn't have to go and ask somebody for the answers. He doesn't have to go and look it up on Google. He doesn't have to try and figure out the next direction. Like, he is it. Like, the buck really stops with him. And anybody who is in any kind of business or job or anything like that, the church, they know, like, the buck has to stop with somebody, and that there can be that overwhelming responsibility. But I love that God is like, bring it. The buck stops here, and it doesn't matter. I got it. Mm-hmm. I'm not checking with anybody. I know you better than anybody else will ever know you. And, you know, Katie, I love women talking about these conversations. It doesn't matter your age. I think we all struggle in different seasons, like you've mentioned earlier. We struggle with those things. We struggle with bravery and fear and putting ourselves out there. Katie, in our podcast, we always ask this one question. Our podcast is about bridging the generational gap. How does being brave and choosing holy courage help bridge the gap between generations?
Well, as we discussed earlier, the calling doesn't change depending on our age. Mm-hmm. And one of the unique things about the culture we live in is the interaction between the generations. Grandparents are more involved in children's lives than ever before.
Yeah.
So what a unique opportunity. And we're in this season here. We're headed back to school. And a lot of parents are kind of upset about it because it looks a lot different than we hoped or we planned or than it did last year. And it's a tough time for a lot of parents to adjust to this. And our kids are adjusting to this. And I see the opportunity hugely for grandparents to speak into that. You know, I was talking to someone, grandparents, the people we can look up to, the older generation, like, lead us, guide us, show us how to have faith in the season. And I was talking to someone a couple months ago, and they said, you know, what I really feel sorry is, this world is in a pandemic. Who I really feel sorry for is your children, that they would have to go through this. And I just walked away from that conversation like, who is the one who's supposed to give me hope here? You know, this is a unique season for my children, but this is the season where they're going to learn courage like never before. They're going to learn faithfulness. They're going to learn, like, we know what happens throughout scripture. This is our guide of when God's people are pressed how he responds and what he does for them. And that's what we need to be pouring into each other. That's what the young families need from those who have gone before. It's that faith and that fear of the Lord that can be passed down. It can be so rich. It says in Psalms that one generation will praise thy works to another. And that's what I want to be. I just want to bounce it back and forth. This is what we're learning here. This is what we're growing here. And that's how we all stay strong in a season that's really difficult.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree on so much of what you just said there. I think that older generation, the generation even before me, has so much to offer to us right now, and for us to pass on to the next and to the next. And with my little grandson, he's just 2 weeks old. He's just this little tiny little thing.
Wow.
And I think, wow, we've got so much we can teach you. And yes. And thinking about how my grandparents were not involved in my life and how I want to change that for the next, for his generation, right? Like two generations. And very excited about what you said. I agree with all that. I think we have so much to offer and that the generations shouldn't be as divided. And that's why we are doing this podcast, is because we want to bridge that gap. We've got so much to learn from each other.
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity for all of us. Absolutely. I'm glad you're doing this work here.
Awesome. Well, Katie, thank you so much for joining us today. You can find Katie at ichoosebrave.com, on social media, ichoosebrave, and pick up her book wherever books are sold. So Katie, thank you so much for engaging this conversation with us today.
Oh, thank you. It was a privilege to be here.
Thanks, Katie. Have a great day. We'll see you on the flip.
Thank you.
Well, that was Katie Westenberg, and with I Choose Brave, and a really helpful conversation, I think, in regards to what it is to have holy courage in the midst of fear, and even the definition of fear in Scripture, right? Of it being the same, actually, and the fear of God versus the fear of Herod, and the different things like that to help us engage in our today. And I love what she said, actually, about, you know, she thought maybe this would be a book for a theologian, but it's actually a book for a friend. And I think that's right. From what I gather from her is like, yeah, we all battle with fear. We all have fear. We're built to have that fear, and it's how we direct it. And I loved when she said that, like that's how we direct our fear. And it really is true. Sometimes we can direct it and succumb to our fear, and sometimes it can cause this thing called holy courage that she was talking about.
Yeah, I loved her energy, and I loved her spunk, and I love her perspective on so many things, and her desire to learn and have input from other generations, and wanting it, you know, not just accepting it, but looking for it. And, you know, I loved her remark towards the end where she was talking to someone older, like a grandma type, a little older than me, I'm pretty sure. And, just said, like, what do you think, you know, about what's going on in the pandemic? And she's like, I feel for your kids having to live through this. And she's like, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and
huge.
I thought huge. That was a really huge comment and and statement. And it helped me just to reflect, what is my response?
Exactly.
And everything needs to be, we drive people back to Jesus, drive them back to the Word.
And we know for ourselves, right, that at times in the valley create character and deepen relationship with God. We know that for ourselves. And so to be able to, as a generation, think, oh, I mean, I can offer that then to somebody else, that I can offer that to my kids. I can offer that to the people I have influence in my life. And sometimes we have a hard time bridging that gap that, okay, I know in this time, I'll get through it and I'll become a better person. But man, when I watch my 5-year-old go through something, like not being able to go to that birthday party to her for her best friend, or, you know, for some reason, those things are really hard for me as a dad. I'm like, oh man, poor kid. But in the end, I got to think about those things as well, of like, man, these are things that really can build courage and build faith and to feed into that rather than the, oh, this sucks kind of script that we tend to pour into our kids. And that changes what our kids turn into.
Yeah. I agree. Well, this was great. Katie was so good to interview. And again, you can find her book, I Choose Brave, all over the place. Barnes & Noble, everywhere. Anywhere you can find a book, you can find her book. And she has a blog, and that's really exciting. IChooseBrave.com. And you can check out her stuff from there. Hey, we're trying to build each other up, not ignore each other, here on Only We Matter podcast with Brandon and Jacqueline. Thanks for listening. Hit the subscribe button and keep the conversation going.